Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Collaborative Voices from Community Networks Aotearoa. Conversations and interviews on all kinds of subjects of interest to the community and voluntary sector. Listen up for Collaborative Voices from Wellington Access Radio.
Kia ora and welcome to Collaborative Voices, brought to you by Community Networks Aotearoa, an umbrella group of over 80 networking organisations covering the motu in the voluntary and social services sector. And we offer support, advocacy and resources. You can learn more about us from our website by Googling Community Networks Aotearoa. So on today's episode, I'm joined by Alessia Sutton, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the New Zealand Christian Council of Social Services. Hello, Alessia.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thank you so much for joining us. This is lovely to have you on today. I just thought, now, you are the CEO of the new NZCCSS, as I kind of know, because we're all into acronyms and that sort of thing. Could you just tell us how a wee bit how you, your path, journey to ending up as CEO?
Yeah, of course. So I'm originally a South Islander, actually. I was born in Queenstown, grew up in Ototahi, Christchurch.
Us
mainlanders. So I'm used to this frosty weather that we have here. I'm used to it. So I worked and studied in Christchurch. I was working or studying at the time when the earthquakes occurred. And obviously that was quite a challenging time, I think, particularly to be a young professional in the area. So my partner and I moved up to Wellington where I did a master's in development studies.
Right.
And so obviously development studies is starting off around kind of global inequalities and bigger economic structural issues. And when I went to do my thesis, I ended up wanting to actually focus on the inequality we experience here in New Zealand. And so for me at the time, that was looking at what was happening to people in the welfare system, what their well-being was like and what happened to them after they left the welfare system.
Yeah.
It was around the time where there were targets focused similar to now on dropping job seeker numbers. So I was interested in what was actually happening to people, if that was actually making their lives better or not. And along that journey, I met a wonderful MP who was in opposition at the time called Carmel Cipollone. And then luckily went on to go and work for her in opposition, which then, of course, in 2017 turned into government. So
Yes.
So I was her political advisor. I also worked for the Right Honourable Jacinda Ardern as one of her political advisors, working on child poverty and social development and a range of other issues. So I was in Parliament about 7 years all up, which was an incredible experience and I'm very proud of
that. So you got to see on the inside and the inside track, so to speak, a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. It was an incredible privilege to be a part of that world and to feel like an advocate right at the table of decision making, I think, is quite a rarity. And to be able to use your experience studying and hearing from real people in the welfare system to then advise the Minister for Social Development. I feel very lucky to have got to have had that opportunity.
Yeah.
Then I went into the NGO sector in a different way. I went to lead the international programs team at Sexual Wellbeing Aotearoa, formerly Family Planning New Zealand, which was really great. I got to go into the Pacific. I went to Vanuatu, to Kiribati, which was a really incredible experience.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting places, really interesting. And then I got to represent our organisation at the UN, so to do some international level advocacy as well, which was terrifying but very exciting. And I've had a few stints in the public service as well. But the other thing that happened when I was doing my thesis was I reached out to a number of organisations, one of which was the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services, who were very interested. And I had a great connection with them and I worked with them throughout my time in government as well. So when I saw this role come up, I knew of them well. I had a lot of respect for the organisation, so I very much wanted to be a part of it and to help lead the next chapter of it.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Oh, so just for those of you out there in radio land, Alessia and I only recently met face-to-face, although CNA, Community Networks Aotearoa, and the NZCCS, and thank you. I've just realised that I miss Represented your name to begin with. It is the New
It's
Zealand
okay. It's
Council
hard to get
of
all of it
Christian
right.
Social Services. And so our two organizations have actually co-hosted conferences before. So our two organizations have a track record together. We're very much a parallel organizations. For those of those out there who don't really know what the how do you call it, the NZCCSS? What's your go-to acronym?
Yeah, I do. But I do acknowledge it's challenging either way to say all the letters or all the words. But I think as long as you've got Christian Social Service in there, you get the vibe. That's who we are. Yeah.
Could you give us sort of like a rundown of its structure and who it represents and the sort of work it's up to at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. So similar to CNA, we are an umbrella organization as well. So all of our organizations are Christian-based social service organizations. We have six founding members, which is Anglican, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, and the Salvation Army. And across those six founding members, there's over 100 organizations delivering social services across the Motu. So our membership, similar to yours, would range quite broadly in the services they deliver. So we have people working in the Oranga Tamariki care space. We have, people working in parenting programs with young people, people working in employment and training, food banks, benefit support, benefit advocacy, right through to aged care and supporting people later in life. So we've got the full spectrum of services covered by our wonderful membership.
I was thinking about what you were saying before, where in your studies about the well-being of communities and how that was back then when you were studying, and yet we're still in this kind of same space where we're still trying to work at well-being. So with the recent announcement that this current coalition government is looking to pull out the well-being from communities, which frankly for me is horrific, and the fact that they're quoted as, being nice to haves rather than that. What was your, without getting too political, because I don't want to get too political in this, it's really about the sort of thing that's been happening for both organisations for decades, regardless of government. What's your view on the state of well-being within our communities?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that well-being has become somewhat of a politicized term when I think when we look at the crux of what most decision makers say, that is what we are all aiming for our communities. It might just look a little bit different in either how we get there or what that ultimate goal is. But yeah, so I think it is concerning if there's an outright shift away from what well-being looks like, particularly when we think about like whānau-led well-being and what people actually want for themselves and their own aspirations, as opposed to perhaps kind of government-imposed ideals of well-being or progress. So I think that's a concern, and I think I guess one of the shifts as well is maybe less of a focus on outcomes, but a lot of focus on outputs. So kind of some of the key metrics we think about may be indicators of a range of things, but they don't actually properly measure what is happening to people and the impacts of people. But we certainly hear from our membership that outcomes are feeling, yeah, there's a lot of concern about what's happening in the community, I would say, at the
How
moment.
would you describe the difference between an output and an outcome?
Yeah, so I guess I would say an example that I would potentially use would be in the housing space at the moment. So an output would be a reduction of the number of people receiving emergency housing special needs grants. An outcome would be people living in warm, dry states of housing.
Sort of theory versus practice in a way.
And I acknowledge that outcomes are a lot harder to measure as well, but I think it's worth putting the time and effort in. And I think it'll be interesting to see where the Social Investment Agency gets to in that space as well, and whether they're able to make progress on how to better do that across government.
Well, that was one of the things we've been, as your organization most likely has been, involved in watching the Social Investment Agency and that area of mahi. And one of the questions that comes up is that when you do have an outcome, who kind of gets to say, well, that was part of us, you know, because our society is so holistic within the different support mechanisms that interact with each other. How do you say, well, you know, we did this, therefore that happened, therefore it's because of us, when you've got multiple agencies and multiple projects happening over multiple silos? It's quite of a
Absolutely.
weird thing. I just wanted to sort of U-turn back a little. So I'm just going to be out there. I'm an atheist, and it's the Council of Christian Social Services. For someone like me who has a limited understanding, given that there are what I would perceive, so this is totally from my perspective, not CNA, so I've just got to be really clear around that there are differing versions of religion, and obviously the social services are very much connected. They're very similar. They're all about empowerment. They're all about support, advocacy, and providing. What's that like in terms of a council with perhaps different perspectives? Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really valid question, and I think, I mean, just to acknowledge, I myself am not a Christian either, so this isn't something that I practice. I consider myself relatively agnostic, but I think what we have in common across all the different denominations and across all the different staff, irrespective of our religious affiliations ourselves, is a really core fundamental values focus on our work. So justice and compassion just outright transcend across all of those different denominations, whether they have different ways of practicing that or that might look different with different principles and different denominations. But I haven't had anything come up where it's been different in the work that we've done. It's very much everyone is really supportive, and we feel the values that we hold really align well across all of the denominations that we represent and the organizations that we represent.
If only other coalitions were that sympathetic to each other. Not to mention government departments, because silos, government departments not talking to each other, and yet they're all there to govern, to provide our society. I always find that one of those sort of quite sort of ridiculous moments of going, you don't know what the left hand is doing. But just for the moment, we're going to quickly whip away. And do you want to introduce the song that we're going to listen to and why you've chosen it, please?
Absolutely. So, the song I've chosen today is called It's a Good Day in brackets to Fight the System. And it's by an artist called Shungudzo. And I'm sure from the title you can get the gist, but I think it's a really both positive, upbeat song, a good song to start the day, I find. And I think reflects what a lot of us are trying to do. We're trying to fight the system to do better in Aotearoa. So hopefully it's a bit of inspiration for you.
I woke up feeling great. The birds are in the trees. They're singing me a melody. La 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 la, fuck the police. My head is on straight. My heart is in peace. My soul is incredibly ready to change history.
It's a good
one will hold it down. We're gonna spread the love. We're gonna spread it round. We're all over the city now, and we're down in the underground.
Come on.
System.
It's a
Hope you all enjoyed that. Welcome back to Collaborative Voices with Community Networks Aotearoa. I'm having a konaroa with Alicia Sutton, who is the CEO of the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services. So what's happening for the NZCCS at the moment?
Yeah, thank you. So we've actually just had our strategic hui with our wonderful governing council of 11 members at the moment, who have provided some great guidance for us. And we've got a really strong secretariat team as well. So a few big things on the radar for us. We're currently in the process of developing an older person's poverty monitor. So there has been previously similar things in the child's poverty monitor space. We recognise that older people are also dealing with a lot, particularly we're seeing, you know, trends in rentals increasing and some potential challenges in that space. So we really want to get a bit more information out there as to what that problem may look like. So we're really excited about that.
And also that we definitely have an enlarging mature population as we go on.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We've produced some great reports recently as well, which we're keen to continue promoting. So we did a series on Guide to Government, which was to help people and providers more easily understand the processes of the mystery that is Parliament and government, and try to understand what it looks like to engage and make it more easy and accessible. And I think we've probably seen quite an uptake in general across New Zealand, I would say, in terms of understanding the submission process, given some of the more controversial legislation. So I think there has been also an organic, perhaps, increase in that engagement as well, which is great to see more participation. We also have done some work on middle childhood, which is the ages of 5 to 12 years old, which is one of those areas within child and youth that can sometimes get less prioritised, I would say, than other cohorts. So we're interested in what are some of the challenges that age group is facing, and what kind of tools and opportunities would help people who do interact with that age group to better support them in their development as well.
And that very much sounds like a middle child, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those are some of the big projects. As an umbrella organisation, we're always working with our providers, hearing what's on the ground, what are the issues they're facing, connecting up our membership as well, and wanting to provide them with the tools to better succeed as well.
And that's one of the issues, not the issues, but one of those lovely things that we're all trying to do is provide information, resources for each other. And I think those kind of collaborations, why reinvent the wheel? Someone's doing something, how can we spread that joy?
Yeah.
How can we spread
what's going on? Amplify it, share those learnings. Absolutely.
Yeah, and also for me, it's very much about singing in the choir. The more voices you have, you know, the more possible harmonies, the more possible volume that you might get towards Parliament.
Or any of the decision makers, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it is because in terms of charity, especially in terms of legislation, religion is one of the four poles of being able to be a charity. It's been recognised since, you know, before the 1900s, that it is one of the basic pillars of our society and goes along very much with people's will to volunteer, to stand up and to, you know, just do a wee bit of their bit to add to the general volume of what we're doing in total. I was wondering, so next year we have a general election. We're about a year and a half, or just under a year and a half away from that. And there's a lot of things going on at the moment, you know, cost of living crisis, butter, let alone, you know,
Yes.
cheese and eggs
Yeah.
and some of the horror stories that you do see on TV about the recently that family eating rice just so they could afford to live in a house, which is kind
Yeah.
of terrible. Now, without getting sort of too maudlin on it, but we do have to be realistic about what's happening. What are you hoping that as we move towards next year, before people start electioneering, what should Kiwis be noticing about our world and our society and thinking about when we head towards that general election?
Yeah, I think there's two main things that I would put forward to answer that. So I think the first thing in general would be an understanding of people doing it tough at the moment. And I think that's a lot of individual people, it's a lot of communities. I think it is really concerning the data we're seeing around child poverty not shifting, and we know that will have impacts for the rest of those children's lives to keep having children in poverty or impact our whole country and the productivity we see when we think in economic terms as well. And that's really fundamental to have that on the radar and to recognize that as a political priority. It has been in previous elections, and that's, you know, helped contribute to things like having child poverty in legislation now, which is really fundamental. So making sure issues like that are on the radar is really important. And I think that the second part, though, for me is empathy across people as well. I think we really need to learn from the global environment that we're operating within as to how problematic it can get when everyone just sticks to their own polarized views, and making sure we do just have a bit of kindness and empathy for people who may have different opinions, have those conversations, be open. I think it's really important that we stay connected as a country and don't just become, you know, wildly different in our views and keep segregating in that way as well.
I'm a big proponent of listening, but also if you do disagree with someone, don't disagree with them, disagree possibly with the idea. So
Yeah,
you're not making it
absolutely.
personal, because I think
Yeah.
that for me is, I spent some time recently in the United States, and of course that's a, I would feel, a very divisive country, and our perspective of it certainly is. When I was in Kentucky, a red state, as they call it, and I was sort of ready for conversations, but it's amazing how many people you could actually sit down and actually have a conversation with as well. And I thought that's really cool. But you know, such a large country, 350 million plus, that actually having a conversation individually is very difficult. And we end up with those kind of messages, which are, you know, and now sort of some of those messages, conservative, very right-wing messages coming into New Zealand. And how do you discuss that with? I love sitting in a room with someone who has a different idea, and finding out about why they believe that, and I believe this, and whether you know, not to change someone's mind, but to say, oh, can you just lead me through that? And sometimes that just starts to create a conversation rather than an argument.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really important. And I think it's important to recognize often we try to combat someone who maybe has a differing view with more information and more data. And actually, if they feel that way because of their feelings, that's really valid as well. You know, if they're feeling unsafe, if they're feeling like life is tough, even if the stats tell you otherwise, it doesn't invalidate what their experience is. So recognizing that and talking to them on that basis, I think, is really important.
Nietzsche said a really cool thing, which I'm going to paraphrase. He said, people will stop listening to facts because it means the world they live in has to change. And so they'd rather go, well, that's just fake news, rather than that actually is true and I need to adapt to it. I'm
True.
sort of happy where I am, so to speak. But I absolutely love those two points, and they are really absolutely valid, because they're just really, it's just talk to people and also just look around you know. So as we sort of, you know, wind down towards the end here, what about you, if you don't mind me asking? Feel free to say no. I was just wondering, so within the sort of work that you're doing, the sort of sites you're seeing, the reports you're reading, let alone you as a person in the world, what brings you peace of mind? What are the sort of I don't know, exercises at the desk, or the things that you do just to keep yourself sane and on balance?
I think this is something I struggle with, to be honest. Yeah. I think having worked in a place where you'd often be working on the weekends and then the evenings and that kind of thing, I think having a good work-life balance is a journey that I am still on myself. But in terms of keeping myself sane, I guess the first thing that keeps me sane is that I really believe that a lot of decision makers want the right thing for most people. Yeah. And I do think that there's a lot of power, and I've seen the positive, what positive decision making can look like for people. And I really believe that we can have that and improve people's lives. So that keeps me going in a more working sense. And then otherwise, I think being outdoors, just like everyone, is really important. Love going to the beach and hanging out with my cats at home and being around animals, I think, is really soothing. Dogs, cats, anything. It's always good for the soul as well.
Yeah, I'm a walker. I've always been a walker. I will bus when it's raining, but I generally walk everywhere. And with the work that we're doing, I find that at lunchtime, getting out and just doing it for a half an hour walk around, because that's me, not, try it if you want to out there, try it, absolutely. But I know that that's what works for me. So I come back in for the afternoon. I've just had a bit of fresh air, bit of sunlight, it's about finding that balance for everything. Hey, Alicia, thank you so much for joining us today at Collaborative Voices. It's been lovely to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
I just want to say that if you want to find out more about the NZCCSS and CNA sites, you can literally Google both those, the New Zealand Council of Christian Social Service and Community Networks Aotearoa. But also you'll find some contact information and information about the work that both organisations are doing. If you want to get involved or if you want to contact, I'm sure both of us would love to hear from you. If not, we hope you have a fantastic week and we'll see you later. Goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Okay, sir.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.